about.
Oh,
hello.
What's going on?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
But the worst part about doing clubs is, if you're headlining, they fly you in the night before, and you have to fly in early so that you can get up extra early in the morning the next day and do the morning zoo crew, you know, and drive time radio to promote the show, and it's the fucking worst, man. That is a fucking nightmare. Even if it's 15 minutes, it is the worst 15 minutes of your fucking life, always. I don't care if you've been in a fucking shark attack. I would rather... If I was in a shark attack and then they had no anesthetic and they had to heal it up and they sew it up, I'd be like, this sucks. But then if two DJs came in to interview me, I'd shoot myself.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What? I'm black, you think I did it?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
They white.
Roll another one.
America.
Just like the other one.
Okay, how does that sound to a lady?
This one seems to be about to quit.
No one cares about radio.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it.
Roll another one.
Represent.
Just like the other one.
Hit it, Steve.
This one seems to be about to end.
I tell it does he.
Dick Poop.
Just pass it around.
And her Lisa Mae.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Who you got?
I just pass it on down.
And now.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
Our feature presentation.
That's a little creepy.
I think that's from, where's that from? I think that's from Old School, where Will Ferrell is like super, super drunk.
Oh, right.
And that's how he's hearing his voice in his head, I think. I remember. Right. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. God, that's a great movie.
It sure is. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 16th of January.
How's everybody?
Good.
You know, living large.
Sure.
I got a simple, uncomplicated, easy question to get us started today. What happens when you die?
Everybody has a different interpretation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe in heaven.
I think you're done.
You don't. Lisa doesn't.
All right. That's interesting. That's interesting to me. You believe in heaven. So what happens when you die?
I don't know.
You think you go up to heaven and you think you see God?
Yeah, and everybody sees that differently. There's no way to answer that.
Well,
because I don't know.
How about the people who have died and have come back, which is why I bring it up, because they are in the news today. What about those people? Now, do you believe those people, if they've died?
Yeah, I don't know.
They've gone to heaven.
And I would like to believe that.
There's a huge category of I don't know in my life.
Yeah.
that's like 90% of the information out there.
Well, there's a very popular subgenre of Christian literature right now that is getting bigger all the time that is referred to as the heavenly tourism
business. Heavenly tourism.
And this is exactly the people that I've described. This is people who have died and have gone to heaven and have written a book. There's one guy that I remember that we talked about on this show because I remember his name so well. It was Colton Burpo. Remember Colton Burpo?
Oh, sure.
He was anesthetized.
Burpo does good work.
He was anesthetized for an appendectomy at the age of 4. And he says that he went up to heaven, he saw God, he got a halo, he got real wings, although they were too small for his liking. He said he sat on Jesus' lap. The angels sang to him. He saw Mary standing behind Jesus' throne. He met the Holy Spirit, who, according to Colton, is kind of blue. He wrote a very popular book about it called Heaven is for Real. Now, Lisa, wasn't that the one that they turned into a movie with Greg Kinnear?
Yes.
Heaven is for Real. It was all about his adventures. Right. Yeah. Now, there's another book that has been very popular that was written. It was written in 2010. It was called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. This book is in the news right now. It was written by Alex Malarkey and his father, Kevin. He is a Christian therapist in Ohio. When Alex was six, they were in a terrible automobile accident. Alex, the little boy, ended up in a coma for 2 months and says he went to heaven. He described heaven as having a hole in outer heaven that goes to hell. He detailed his conversations with Jesus Christ and meetings with the devil, who at one point blamed him for the accident. So what's interesting and what people are talking about is all these people that are going to heaven, including these two pretty high-profile best-selling books, why are their accounts so different? Is heaven different for everybody?
It's a good question.
And there are several mentions of people describing heaven in the Bible, but they don't describe anything they saw. They just described what they felt, like God's grace.
I'm guessing if that guy's wings didn't fit, that wasn't heaven. That particular place is probably pretty good at fitting wings to you.
So you think what, then? That they're...
It's a dream.
They're making it... Yeah, it's a dream that's in a coma, and you just have no control of your brain, and it feels real, just like we sometimes have dreams when we sleep and we wake up and we really do feel like we were running through a field with Alison Brie or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's that theory that the people that see the light, that's just your brain firing off whatever it fires.
Or maybe the fact that you're laying on an operating table and there's a huge bright light directly above you
so that
the surgeons can work on you. Right.
Could be that.
I mean, I don't know, but that is one theory.
Well, Alex Malarkey, who again was six when he was in this automobile accident, and by the way was left a quadriplegic in the accident, wrote a letter this week that he posted online that said he made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
I did not die. I did not go to heaven. I said I went to heaven because I thought it would get me attention. When I made the claims that I did, I had never even read the Bible. People have profited from lies, and they continue to, but they should read the Bible, which is enough. The Bible is the only source of truth. Anything written by man can be infallible. And the book is being taken out of print, and is being pulled off Christian bookshelves.
Wow.
And he came out. I don't know if he had some, you know, he got saved. He had some sort of revelation,
yeah.
No pun intended, but he came out. He said, I made the whole thing up just to get attention. And there were millions of people who lined up to buy that because they believed in him.
Yeah.
Is he giving the money back?
Doesn't say that.
Can I guess?
Nope.
Nope.
No, he's not.
His mother, by the way, openly doubted the story and had written about it before, saying, I don't know why everybody believes what this story of this little kid.
Really?
His mother and father are separated, by the way.
His own mom.
His own mom.
Oh, he was
had
living
said,
with dad?
He was living with dad. Yeah.
And
dad.
The cash.
And, yeah, exactly. And dad is the one who co-wrote the book. And dad was the one working as a Christian therapist. So I don't know what, you know, mom's relationship is with religion or not, but that's an interesting story right there.
I need to write a book about going to heaven.
You absolutely do. Dude, I'm telling you, these books are selling like crazy, and they're turning into movies and the whole deal. But what an interesting turn of events, though, that all these years later, I mean, he wrote that book, you know, like 8 years ago, that he would come out this week and say, I made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
I just think that's a fascinating topic. Gives you a lot to think about.
Hey, you know that thing about heaven? Didn't happen. Thanks for your money, everybody. Bye-bye.
Doesn't mean it won't happen for you. Just means I made up my account of what happened. So, interesting stuff.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
How long does peyote last? Just asking for a friend.
I'm hoping 4 hours. Michelle Trachtenberg will be on the program today talking about Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Hollow, as Dave describes it.
Sleepy Hollow. Simon Helberg will be in studio. Talking about the movie We'll Never Have Paris.
Okay. Very talented young man. Richest guy we probably will meet today.
Yeah, that's probably true. Keith Richards and Justin Bieber walked into a bar. End of that joke. Emily Morse will be here. She's a sex therapist, and there is a sexual health expo going on.
Ah, excellent.
Going to talk to her. We also have RJ Bell on the program from Las Vegas, for those of you degenerate gamblers. And wow, who did we not realize the level of degenerate gamblers in our audience?
Yep.
Until we had RJ Bell on.
Yep.
Now people are tracking us down and waving at us and emailing us and tweeting us. And a guy at the stoplight, roll down your window, what did RJ say? I'm like, come on.
They're insisting we work on vacations so that RJ can get on the air.
Yeah, it's absurd. World Dog Awards were on last night.
Oh, I missed it.
Were they now?
They were.
Damn it.
Were they as great as you hoped?
No.
No.
They were good. It's fine. There's some good highlights.
Okay.
But, you know, that sounds terrible. It sounds like the worst show ever.
It sure does.
And in many respects, it is. But they did a lot of, hey, adopting pets and don't go. You know what I mean? They put a lot of good messages in there. But
that's good.
But, I mean, come on.
It wasn't just Ryan Seacrest making dog puns all night.
No, it was, what's his name? Who hosted it? It was
George Lopez?
Yeah, George Lopez. And they were making dog puns all night. If you want dog puns, that's the place to go.
What, they couldn't get Pitbull?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, who's more appropriate for a dog show than Pitbull?
And it's Friday, so we've got the movie beat. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Friday morning.
Yeah.
Good, right? That's a good thing, right?
Yep.
We're happy about that.
Not as good as Friday afternoon.
Yeah, that's true. You're right about that. Ralph is here. Friday first night. Look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
Well, sad news. Somebody check on Rodney. See if he's okay.
Why?
One of his buddies has passed away. The legendary record producer, manager, notorious figure on L.A.'s Sunset Strip, Kim Fowley, has passed away.
Wow.
Kim was a musician and artist, singer himself. In the 60s, never with much success, but he went on to produce a couple one-hit wonders, like Alley-Oop and the instrumental Nut Rocker and Popsicles and Icicles for a girl band called the Mermaids. But it was in 1975 when everything came together for him, when he discovered five little girls called the Runaways. Put them together, and the rest was history. He was their manager. If you ever saw the movie The Runaways, Michael Shannon played him brilliantly.
Why?
And he was an L.A. legend, and by all counts, just a lunatic.
Yeah.
There were stories of verbal abuse towards the girls in The Runaways when he was their manager, and the band didn't last for long. They split up more or less in 1977 when Sherry Curry, the lead singer, split. But you know, it's funny, they had a falling out at the time, but she recently moved into his house to help him with his cancer treatment. He passed away from bladder cancer, so I guess she had a soft spot for the old guy after all.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I hope Rodney's doing all right, because they were very close pals.
They were. In fact, Mr. Fowley was all over the Rodney on the Rock, Mayor of the Sunset Strip documentary.
Yeah, he was.
Talking about it. They talked lightly. They were good friends.
So.
He was a colorful guy in the music industry.
Yep, he was.
Entertaining.
That's one way to put it. Colorful. This Naya Rivera, you know, Rosie Perez quit the View. Maybe they should hire her. She seems to be generating a lot of attention for that show. I guess she's the host all week. She's the guest host all week or something.
Is that how they do it?
Yeah. Hmm. And, you know, she raised eyebrows when she said that white people shower too much.
Yeah. Everybody should just take it easy.
Well, she also was responding to a report that Rosie O'Donnell was doing on The View yesterday, mentioning that research has proven that bisexual women have more mental health issues than lesbians. Naya Rivera responded, "No wonder I'm crazy," insinuating that she's bisexual.
Right.
Okay. Who doesn't shower? And now we know more about Naya Rivera than we ever thought we would. And if you got a kid who wants to be on Broadway, here's your chance. You know, they're doing a Broadway version of the movie School of Rock. Mm-hmm. And producers are looking for boys and girls ages 9 to 15 who can sing and act, along with other kids who can play guitar, bass, drums, keyboards. Auditions begin here in Los Angeles this Saturday and then go to New York and Chicago. They're also looking for a youngish actor to play Jack Black's part of Dewey, but I'm guessing they'll get a name for that. Anyway, if you're interested and you got a kid who wants to be on the stage, schoolofrockthemusical.com. You can get all the details for all the auditions that your kid can go to. So.
It's hard to find a parent in Los Angeles who would like their kid to get into show business, though, Ralph.
What?
I mean, I hope there's one out there that's listening or will get this word. And they had to try to discourage that behavior. What's happening?
Come on.
Thank you so much.
tonight, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and me, Hollywood Babylon. You don't want to miss it. Go to the Improv on Melrose tonight at 10 p.m. See me and Kevin Smith on stage as we mock our industry betters. We'd love to see you there.
Nope.com.
Improv.com for all the details and for tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays, director John Carpenter, the man who gave us Halloween. And one of my favorite movies of all time, Escape from New York, with Kurt Russell.
Oh, that's right. They build a wall around it?
Yeah, they build a wall around New York and make it a prison. Model Kate Moss is 41 years old today. And Angels first baseman Albert Pujols turns 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 621.
Dicks.
Hey, we're on the air. Oh, I can hear you. I can't wait. Can you hurry up with your little feature here? Because we got the World Dog Awards highlights coming up in about 10 minutes. Ralph?
Hey, who let the dogs out?
How long into the broadcast, Kevin, did they say who let the dogs out?
They avoided that particular joke while making every other possible
Are
pun.
You kidding me?
Yeah. They have a lot more restraint than I do then. That's
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. That's coming up, World Dog Awards. Also, by the way, a sexpert joins us on the program. Emily Morse is going to be here.
Emily Moist.
Oh.
See what you did?
Yeah, that's what
She's
I call her.
She's a weekly guest host on Loveline, and we're excited to have her join us next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, it's time for the Movie Beat with Ralph.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What a bunch. What a bunch of movies opening up this weekend. Some are in limited release. Some are already out there in limited release and going wider, like American Sniper, which we've already talked about, is available in more screens this weekend.
Ralph, let me interrupt you one second.
Ah!
Just because you mentioned American Sniper and Bradley Cooper just got nominated for an Oscar for playing that role in that movie, the interview that we did with the real-life man that the movie is based on, Chris Kyle, is up at the top of KevinBean.com. If folks missed it first time around, fascinating guy, fascinating story. Back to you.
There you go. The new movies that are opening up this weekend, for example, Spare Parts. It's the Mexican robot movie.
It's the Mexican robot movie.
You heard me. George Lopez, Jamie Lee Curtis, Marissa Tomei all star in this story about four Hispanic high school students from a robot club with no experience who have to put together a robot using car parts and a dream as they go up against the country's reigning robot champions, MIT.
No.
Oh, they're the underdogs robot. They're the underdog robot builders.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll win.
I don't know. I hope George Lopez teaches them an important lesson about life and love.
What has happened to multiple Oscar winner / nominee Marissa Tomei?
She has a mortgage. That's what happened to her. So if you want to watch George Lopez build a robot, Spare Parts is the one for you. Here's a scene from the movie that apparently George Lopez here tells Marissa Tomei to slap him.
I need you to slap me hard. Like I said something offensive to you.
Who is going to look bad here, though? You or me?
Oh, no, definitely me.
Okay. I can't just slap you out of nowhere. So say something to me.
I think women are all horrible teachers.
Mm-hmm, not bad.
All the heroes in the school system are really the politicians. They deserve all the credit. And girls doing math? I mean, really? No!
Okay. That's as good as the dog awards. Lopez is on fire!
You ever watch something in a movie and say, why does that only happen in the movies? Why can't that happen to me? I feel that way when I see someone slap George Lopez.
Yeah.
I'd like to have that happen. Have him come up to me in real life and say,
it's fiction,
just slap me.
Yeah.
Paddington. Oh, Paddington. Oh, you scampish little bear, you.
Paddington's a stuffed bear, right?
The legendary story of Paddington.
I loved the Paddington books
Paddington
at one time.
Bear. Okay,
take it easy.
We all loved Paddington Bear. He was an adorable little British bear from Peru who travels to London to find a home and friends, and he does with the Brown family. He's Paddington Bear.
Yep.
Paddington Bear.
right. Noted.
This looks adorable. Hugh Bonneville, Sally Hawkins, stars Julie Waters, Jim Broadbent. Good cast of talented Brits. Telling the story. Here's where Paddington first meets Mr. Brown.
My name is... Beg your pardon? Right.
Well, go on.
Hmm?
You try it. Look at the throat.
Mr. Brown, that is extremely rude.
He says, I try to teach him how to talk in bear.
He's a Paddington Bear.
Wow. That maybe more of a visual. I don't know if that one translates.
Yeah, because it's a bear. It's a CGI bear, but it looks like a real bear, and he's talking to this family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's Paddington Bear.
Yeah, no, you can't. That doesn't help.
You don't get it, man.
I don't get it.
Black Hat opens up this weekend. Chris Hemsworth. He is a hacker. All hackers look like Chris Hemsworth,
they do.
don't they?
That's science.
And he's pulled out of prison to help the governments of China and America battle a cyber terrorist. Here, Chris Hemsworth ready to hack the NSA.
My old correspondence with Donahue is here. But there's no way that login is still active.
I'm not going to use that login. Okay, Donahue, the NSA contact you just talked about.
If NSA discovers the intrusion, you sure you want to do this?
FBI can't explain after the fact.
You locate this guy, you're okay. You get discovered, you're dead meat.
Yeah! The exciting world of hacking.
And that wasn't maybe the best clip.
No. Still Alice, Julianne Moore, in her Oscar-nominated role. She plays a happily married woman with three grown children, a linguistics professor, who starts to forget words. It's the Kevin Ryder
story. Welcome to my life.
She receives a devastating diagnosis. And
she's got a lot further to fall, though, doesn't
that's
she, Ralph?
True, yeah. She's got a lot going on when she starts to lose her faculties. Julianne Moore, Alec Baldwin, Kristen Stewart, Kate Bosworth, all-star in Still Alice. Here, Julianne Moore tells Alec Baldwin about her memory loss.
I got lost while I was running on campus a while ago, and I can't remember appointments, words.
Honey, we all have memory lapses. That's a sign of getting older. But there is no diagnosis, yeah?
No.
Okay. Well, then I think that this is ridiculous. It's complete bullshit.
Damn it! Why won't you take me seriously? No, I know what I'm feeling. I know what it's feeling, and it feels like my brain is dying. And everything I've worked for in my entire life is going. It's all going.
No. Wow, that looks good devastating,
times.
Doesn't it?
Good times. Kevin, what do you think?
That's how I feel, but I'm not crying.
You should be. I would be if I were you.
I've had a long time to get used to it, Ralph.
And lastly, the wedding ringer. That's not the wedding singer. This is the wedding ringer.
You know what it's like when you're going to get married, but you don't have a best man.
Right. You have to go to one of those famous services that provide you with a best man for a fee. You know, the wedding ringers.
Right.
You know how there are all these little shops around town that provide you with groomsmen and a best man if you don't have one for your wedding. You know that profession?
That does not exist.
Apparently it does, Kevin, because they made a movie about it.
Hmm.
And Kevin Hart is a guy who will be your best man for a fee, and he will also find you guys to be your groomsmen if your bride-to-be has a lot of bridesmaids and you don't have any groomsmen.
But he says lots of loud, inappropriate things.
It's a real job. And Josh Gad in The Wedding Ringer needs a groomsman and a best man. And Kevin Hart is there to provide him for that, of course, for a fee, because that's an actual job. Mm-hmm. And it's a real profession.
What time are you seeing this today, Kevin? Do you have it mapped out?
It's not that it only exists in movies. This is in real life as well.
I'm passing on this one, B.
What the what?
Wow.
You are losing your mind.
Well, I haven't seen American Sniper yet, so that's the one I haven't seen.
Here's Josh Gad telling Kevin Hart how many groomsmen he needs to place his order.
How you looking on groomsmen?
Not good at all.
Not good as in you need one or two?
I need seven.
You need seven groomsmen?
I do.
You have any idea what you're asking for? You're asking me to pull off a golden tux.
Yes, see, I don't see that on this pamphlet here.
It's not on the pamphlet, because what you're talking about is what we joke about around here. That's a laugh. Hey, we should try to do a golden tux. Ha ha! Too many moving parts. Too many things go wrong. No.
But there's a name for it.
There's also a name for a horse with a horn on his head. It's called a unicorn. Don't mean I can get you one.
You're going to miss that? He's asking for the golden tux.
Yeah.
It's the golden tux,
It's not
though,
on the menu.
But he has to pull off the golden tux.
Right. I wonder if he'll do it.
I bet he has to pick a lot of guys who are inappropriate, kind of outsider ne'er-do-wells in order to fulfill that order of seven groomsmen.
And how can they keep everything straight in the groom's life?
I hope they don't cause hijinks at the wedding by inappropriately behaving.
The bride is going to be so disappointed by what happens at her wedding.
Oh, will she be upset with her soon-to-be husband, Josh Gad, if things go awry at their wedding ceremony? Unless, of course, she's a bitch and he learns that maybe he shouldn't be marrying her in the first place because of her outrageous demands.
Oh, that would be a surprise.
That would be shocking if he learned that maybe he fell, maybe falls in love with a mousy little girl that's always had an attraction to him, but he didn't really recognize it before something came to light.
What else is coming out, Ralph?
That's it. Just the wedding ringer. That's all you need
seriously.
To know. I'm telling you, the wedding ringer.
Right, but what else?
Get the golden tux. First, get a golden shower.
But a lot of people can catch up with the Oscar nominees that they haven't seen.
Why would they do that when the wedding ringer
exists?
That's
right. I forgot about the wedding ringer. Okay.
Damn you, people. Listen to me.
Golden Tux is one notch above Oscar. Bean. Okay.
They're both gold.
That's right.
Can you see the connection?
Sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie, Bean.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
I got a question for you there, Monkey.
Yep.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
So the CW last night
has
a show on called the World Dog Awards.
Yes.
And they give out awards to dogs.
Okay.
And they make a lot of puns about dogs.
Now, I don't know anything about this show except I heard from you that they were advertising it because you're the guy who watches the CW, so you're the one who saw the commercials for it. I only heard about it from you, and I've stayed away from all articles. I've been trying to figure out what kinds of awards they're giving out. It's not like a dog show where they're giving best in breed anything like that, and it's not a competition show where they're looking for dogs who can run a mile or anything like that, right?
I'll tell you what it is. It's best dog in TV, best dog in a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's the biggest dogs from last year's entertainment world.
Media.
Okay, all right. Because there are a lot of dogs that are very popular on the internet, for instance, have Instagram pages and popular YouTube videos.
And they give out a golden fire hydrant.
All right.
That's what they get.
Well, what dog wouldn't like that?
The show starts with George Lopez, who is the host, and is interrupted just before he goes on stage by a phone call from his own dog. What?
I can't talk to you right now, Matt. What do you want?
Oh, I'm just calling to ask you to pick some hamburgers up.
Yeah, I told you, later. I can't right now because I'm hosting an award show.
What kind of award show?
Oh, it's the World Dog Awards.
The World Dog Awards?
Yeah.
But I'm a dog.
He's a dog. Why is it? How come he's not there?
That's unbelievable. That was on television. And I love hearing the audience laughing.
Yep.
Because you know they stripped that in from another show. There's no way they found that many people to laugh at
that. They were laughing at that for two full hours, Bean.
Oh, my God, really?
Two full hours. Best dog in TV, the dog on Modern Family.
Got to be, right?
Yep. And I'm sorry, forget his name. What's the name of...
Who?
The kid, the boy.
Manny?
Yes, Manny. Well, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that's
but,
all right.
They win, yeah. So they take a camera to him. By the way, this is the part that's really fascinating, is that they have thank you speeches. Now, for the most part, the dogs can't talk.
Sure.
So
for the most part.
So if you think it's bad watching, like, the Golden Globes when people get up that you don't care what they have to say, these are the owners that bring the dog up, and then the owners say things.
So the dogs were actually there at the show?
Yes.
Wow.
A lot of barking.
A lot of star power
going on. Yeah, so this Manny is his acceptance speech, and then George Lopez teases what's coming up.
I can't wait for you to come back to set so we can party and raise the woof.
Later on, we'll be...
See?
Yeah.
Raise the woof.
Raise
Got
the
it.
Woof.
Noted. One dog with our biggest award of the night, Dog of the Year. It's like the Oscars meets the Golden Globes meets a chew toy.
Yeah, that's Comedy Silence of George Lopez.
All right.
And then Ian Somerhalder comes out. Of course, you know him from Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
And
it's so great to be here tonight. Many of you may know me from the Vampire Diaries, making me probably... Thank you. That probably makes me the only person here who can bite someone without getting in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that. There's 2 hours of that.
But know who let the dogs out.
Not that I saw.
Wow.
I have to be honest. I forgot I was supposed to do this till like 10 p.m. last night.
No.
So I was like nodding off, and I could barely stick with it because every time I looked up, it was just another level of nonsense. Let's go, what is happening? How is this happening? And they bring out, I swear to God, if the devil was a dog, it's the ugliest dog of 2014, which they bring out.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, feast your eyes on Peanut.
Peanut is a hideous blow pig of a dog. I mean, you look at this and you go, wow.
Is it one of those kind of...
We should just put that dog down.
Hairless kind of...
Yeah, dog. It's got all honky eyes and all wonky face and all crooked. It's a messed up dog.
I've seen a picture of Peanut. It looks like a rat that's been in a car accident.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
Peanut is the 2014 World's Ugliest Dog.
Right.
But to me, he is just adorable.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, hey, man, I like this dog because he's good. And then George Lopez would come back on and then he would do another pun.
Coming up, Lance Bass and Lily will present the award for performing pups. Paris Hilton, Penn and Teller, and Lassie take center stage. Plus, awards for the top movie dog and more Dog of the Year nominees when the World Dog Awards return.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, before we get to George Lopez, the Dog of the Year, they spent, you know how they do with the movie at the Oscars? Mm-hmm. Where they'll spend a lot of time interviewing people, they'll show clips from it. They sort of give you a whole behind-the-scenes story. Yeah. They were doing that for the Dog of the Year nominees.
Wow.
I don't know.
Because their background.
Seemed like 3-4 minutes on each dog.
I gotta be honest. I am very surprised at the level of celebrity that participated in this show.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Like Penn and Teller, you know, you think they have something else to do. Paris Hilton, same thing.
By the way, Paris Hilton was handing out the Dog of the Year award. She was their big closer.
Okay.
Was Paris Hilton. I'll tell you why, Bean, and I asked myself that the same question last night. Because they did a lot of adopt a dog and rescue dogs.
So these were dog lovers who were
people in Hollywood really who were trying to promote. Yeah.
And exactly. So I can't really hate on the show for that point because I think we all agree on that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we could also all agree that George Lopez is not good.
Welcome back to the World Dog Awards. I think we can all agree that tonight's show is off the chain.
See?
It's off the leash.
Oh, he topped himself with off the leash.
He alley-ooped himself.
So I don't know what this dog won. It doesn't matter. But the owner goes up, and the dog is sitting on a chair, and there's a microphone there. And the owner sort of realizes that there's been a couple of seconds of dead air that no one's talking. So he makes an apology for his... dog.
Well, no, she's kind of overwhelmed right now, but thanks, everybody.
As if, like, she had a speech ready to go.
Uh-huh. And just couldn't pull the trigger on her.
Yeah, she was just too nervous being up in front of everybody like that.
What do you have to do to be the Dog of the Year? Like, how do you get selected as the Dog of the Year? Like, what did she
voting.
Do? Okay.
Voting. You should know that.
So it's not cutest pet or anything like that.
No, it's the dogs. This is how they described it. The dogs that made the biggest headlines in 2014.
All right.
And then this was said.
All right. We love dogs.
Yeah. That was on TV.
For 2 hours in prime time on a network.
I didn't get through it, but I'm trying to get through it because I know I'm supposed to bring in clips. And then this.
Just want to say thanks for voting for him. He's a lot of fun.
Right.
I'm really blessed to have him. And it's just great watching him make people smile. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Nothing better than hearing an acceptance speech from a dog owner.
Our next presenter is a great comic and actor, and now he's doing a dog show. What? We have the same agent? Come on.
Come on.
You should be talking to your agent right now, George
same
Lopez.
Agent. Come on.
Welcome back to the World Dog Awards. The competition tonight is fierce. In fact, during the break, I received a bribe. I'm not going to name names, but a pit bull handed me an envelope with kibble in it.
No! What?
So the joke is that he was handed dog food as a bribe.
Yeah. You want me to keep going? Or have you heard
I really, really, really don't.
Yeah.
2 hours of that. And these are the highlights. I will spare you. Maybe later on in the morning we'll play some more highlights.
But we don't have to, right?
Well, there's some pretty good puns, and you love a pun. So maybe.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:56. Super Bowl 49 is going to be some combination of the Packers, the Seahawks, the Colts, and the Patriots. We'll find out what it's likely to be when we talk to our friend RJ Bell at pregame.com in Las Vegas coming up just after 7. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Go Packers. turns out lonely women who own cats are the best.
The best what?
Audience for movie makers.
Really?
Okay.
And here's how we know why. Because, you know, Fandango. Fandango mm-hmm. is the film website that you can purchase tickets in advance through, as well as find information about your favorite films. Mm-hmm. They just put on sale the 50 Shades of Grey tickets.
Yeah.
That movie doesn't open for nearly a month, but it's already the fastest-selling R-rated movie ticket in Fandango history. For as long as they've been on the internet, tickets are flying off the shelves. For 50 Shades of Grey. You know what it just beat? What the previous fastest-selling R-rated title was in Fandango history?
What?
Avengers? Sex in the City 2.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So,
all right. This is, you want to make money?
No.
Make a movie that lonely women want to see. You and will now, be rich.
Are correct, we stereotyping here? Because that's 50 Shades of Grey was a multi-million selling book.
Yes.
It wasn't just to lonely women, was it?
Right, but
who was reading it? You know what? I didn't see a lot of dudes reading it.
No, a lot of married women were reading it too.
Lonely married women.
Yeah,
women,
that's true.
Married women who weren't getting what they needed.
My impression, though, is that Lisa has gloves. My impression.
Lisa is wearing gloves.
It's
inside.
Cold in here.
Yeah, but you're indoors.
You're wearing your leather coat.
I always wear
right
my leather
now.
Coat.
Why? Because it's cold
no,
in here.
No, because it looks cool.
Oh.
Sorry, I went on
a tangent. Because I look bitchin'.
My impression is 80% of the people that read the book, though, will go, yeah, it was bad.
It was.
Do you guys get that feeling?
Yes.
Like,
oh, yeah. It's going to disappoint everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
It's going to well, by the way, it was a bad book.
Right, that's
and now
I mean.
It's going to be a bad movie.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there aren't a lot of dudes or girls who are getting it who are going to see this movie or reading this book. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The concession stands better stock up on a lot of Haagen-Dazs and whisker lickens.
I'll tell you something else, Ralph.
Because they may bring their cats.
They bring cats to the movie?
Yes. Is Whisker Lickens a cat food?
I don't think so.
I don't believe it is. I think there's anything called Whisker Lickens.
But it shouldn't be, though.
Absolutely should be.
Somebody wrote with that.
I think I read this week after the Golden Globes that the number one most Facebooked about moment of the Golden Globes was when those stars of that 50 Shades of Grey movie came out to present an award. That
I'm
was the number one Facebook moment.
Movie hasn't come out yet, and I'm sick of it.
That is some anticipation right there.
It sure is. And some whisker lickens.
I like it. You've stumbled onto a genius idea.
I'm going to be a millionaire in the cat food biz. And Chris Brown had
guilty.
He is. He had his probation from the Rihanna case revoked yesterday in a L.A. courtroom.
Does that mean he went to prison?
Well, not yet. We don't know what's going to happen with him yet. There's going to be another formal hearing on March the 20th. He could end up getting some serious jail time because he, according to the judge, violated his probation. Here's what happened. The judge was not happy at all about the shooting incident at Chris's concert last Sunday in San Jose while Chris was on stage. Then there was that shooting last August here in L.A. during the weekend of the MTV Video Music Awards where Suge Knight was shot and Chris was again on stage. The judge said Chris didn't have permission to leave Los Angeles to do that show in Jose in the first place. If you're on probation, you have to get permission from the courts to travel outside the jurisdiction, which in this case is the city of Los Angeles.
Interesting.
So that's already a violation of his probation. Prosecutors do want Chris locked up, but the judge let him out on his own recognizance for now, at least. There will be another formal hearing, as I mentioned, on March the 20th, where we'll see what will happen. But he could do some more time, which would be awesome!
Yeah, that's a bad dude.
You'd be in prison just eating whisker lickens, man.
That's a whole different thing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Movie director John Carpenter is 67 years old today. Model Kate Moss turns 41. Gabby?
I was just thinking she's maybe the only supermodel that doesn't get a bell on this show.
It is.
I find her unattractive.
Unattractive. Absolutely.
I really do.
Deeply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's inexplicable.
And yep. she's been a supermodel for 15, 20 years.
One of the most successful models in history.
Mm-hmm. Just not attractive.
Lisa, are we wrong?
No, I don't think she's at all attractive. I don't understand.
Maybe she came about in an era, in a time when they had that heroin chic moment for a hot second there. Models who looked like they were strung out on heroin and super skinny and just emaciated and sort of haggard looking.
Well, that's her.
That was the in look for a moment. I think maybe she got in through that window and now we can't get her out.
Yeah.
She's like a sparrow in your house. You gotta get a broom. You gotta try to open the door. It won't go anywhere. You keep flying around.
Put some whisker lickens down.
That's right.
Right out the door.
Go right for it.
Go right out.
And Angels first baseman Albert Pujols is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Basically, all people are doing now, Kevin, is just downloading the Friday Kevin and Bean podcast and then just fast-forwarding right to this segment with RJ.
Yeah, it's true. Happy.
They're just trying to get past the Kevin and Bean so they can get to RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com, which is an awesome website out of Las Vegas that tells you all you need to know about sports and sports betting. RJ, welcome back to the show, my friend. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. Close to the Super Bowl, but, you know, for many hardcore fans, this is their favorite week because they've got two games and there's not all the hype. It's just about the football, and we've got four really good teams.
Many times the Super Bowl is a bad football game.
You know, that certainly was the case in the 80s and 90s. You know, you think about the last 10 years or so, we've had some mighty good games.
Well, you're right. It's an exciting weekend with four good football teams. I mean, and four of the best quarterbacks play in the game. The Packers versus the Seahawks is first up, the NFC game at noon, and then the Colts and the Patriots follows with the AFC game in the afternoon. Where do you want to start? I guess let's take them in order and start with the NFC.
Yeah, we're going to have our bet here. And remember, guys, here's the caveat. There's only two games.
Right.
The idea that these are great bets, it just mathematically is unlikely. In a normal week, you've got 16 games to choose from. But I actually have an opinion on both. Just remember, it's an opinion, not a best bet. We like Seattle. If you shop around, you can get a 7. So that's a much better number than 7.5. On one hand, Aaron Rodgers' injury. If you look at that game last week against the Cowboys, he was limited.
Yeah.
But Dallas just didn't have the defensive firepower to take full advantage of that. Seattle certainly does. So the Aaron Rodgers injury, a big factor that's a negative for Green Bay. But even bigger is the home-road split. Seattle has the very best home field advantage in the NFL during the Russell Wilson era, 25-2 straight up. 20-7 against the spread. But Vegas likes to dig a little deeper, so let's dig a little deeper here. Last three seasons, Seattle has had 12 competitive home games. Now, what's a competitive home game when they're not favored by more than a touchdown? So we're right on the cusp of that here. In those 12 games, Seattle, 12-0 straight up, 12-0 against the spread, and they've covered the spread by about 2 touchdowns per game.
Wow.
So when the crowd is really into it and the team is focused at home, Seattle is almost unbeatable. On the flip side, Green Bay on the road this season, 4-4 straight up, so only .500, and they were outscored in net by 17 points.
I was shocked to see that.
Yeah, this is a below average road team. Quite
I had no idea. What are you hearing, by the way, from all the various sources? And I'm sure this is most of the chatter about the game this week. Is do we have spies on the ground to know how Aaron Rodgers looks? He's not really practicing, so I guess we really only know what the team tells us, right?
It's so funny because I've talked to pretty much a big chunk of my job is talking to these pro bettors and synthesizing the information. And it's so funny, like they said, we've talked to doctors about this type of injury and what the recovery time is.
Right.
And also keep in mind, and it's a kind of a tangential story, is Peyton Manning was so injured last week, but it wasn't announced on the injury report. And what's interesting is the NFL has an injury report because they don't want inside information. If everyone knows everything about an injury, no gamblers can get inside information. In this case, though, Denver went against it. In general, the consensus is for the Packers that Rodgers will be about as limited as last week, meaning that the week or so of time in between the games isn't enough to heal this specific injury.
Yeah, that is not good news for Packers fans, and it makes me a little bit sad as a Seattle fan because you do want to play against a team that's at full strength, I think.
Let me give you some advice, all right?
Okay.
I'm a Steeler fan.
All right.
They beat Seattle in 2005. You may remember.
I remember it well.
It was Steelers' first Super Bowl since 1980.
Right.
And there was a lot of controversy about the referees, right? Remember mm-hmm. that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't really remember that.
I just
remember we won the Super Bowl. Yeah. So if you win it, that's what you're going to remember.
All right. So you've got Green Bay plus 7.5. Is that right?
Check that. No, I actually like Seattle as the favorite in the game, but you can get a 7. So we're going to grade this baby at 7, Seattle the favorite.
Okay. All right. Now we move on to the Colts Patriots. Andrew Luck versus Tom Brady. Great game, huh?
Yeah, and you're right. You mentioned the top four quarterbacks. If you, in these games, if you keep in mind Peyton Manning's injury right now, these could be the four best quarterbacks in the league at this point. That said, I think the Colts are overrated with a capital O. Yeah, they've been impressive in the playoffs. They've won two games. Remember, Cincinnati had big injuries at receiver, so that mitigates it a little bit. And we've talked about Peyton Manning's limitations in that game. But still, give them credit to win the two games. But let's look at the regular season, right? 16 games. They were 4-0 against Jacksonville and Tennessee. All right, two of the worst teams. They won those games. Congratulations. In the other 12 games, they were outscored by 33 points and outgained by over 1,000 yards.
Wow.
So this is a team, you take away how easy their division was. You can, hey, listen, if you're outgained by 1,000 yards, you're probably a below average team. I'm not saying that's the case with the Colts. I'm saying they're just not as good as people think, especially on the road. If you look at Andrew Luck in his career, 15-12 straight up and against the spread on the road, so barely above 500. Now, New England has a big matchup advantage here. Is if you look at the three games that the Colts have played against the Pats during the Andrew Luck era, the Pats won every game by over 20 points. And if you look at the last two games, and both those games were in the last 12 months, so these are the recent games, New England rushed for 246 yards and 234 yards in each of the games, and 10 rushing touchdowns in two games.
Yeah.
And running the ball, guys, is something you can repeat. If you're able to get 5 yards a carry, you can do that again and again and again, and I think that's a good sign that this is a really strong matchup for New England. The line in the game is 6.5. I like the Pats laying 6.5.
Boy, it sounds like New England was really happy with the outcome of that Indianapolis-Denver game, because they've had a lot of trouble with Denver. Those are straight-up matchups every time those two teams play, but it sounds like they own Indianapolis pretty handily.
Strongly. In fact, in those three games during the Luck era, 8 interceptions for Luck. Belichick is known to confuse younger quarterbacks. And, hey, listen, Luck is still a younger quarterback. Also, if this line would have been against Denver, the Pats would have been about a 3.5-point favorite. So to quantify your point, they're favored by 6.5 in this game. They would have only been favored by 3.5 against Denver, assuming Peyton Manning, wasn't injured.
Of course, yeah. So let's assume you're right, and it ends up being Seattle versus New England in the Super Bowl. Is that a matchup that makes Las Vegas happy, RJ?
Not as happy as Packers versus Pats. And one way to think about this is LA's the perfect town for this. You guys don't have your own team. So in general, what jerseys do you see?
Uh-huh.
And you see Steelers, you see Patriots now, you see Packers.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cowboys,
yeah.
Yep.
You see America's team. So really, in general, the Pats being there is really good. Now, Seattle being the defending champions is really good. So it's not like a bad matchup, but Green Bay is just a bigger franchise.
All right. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We got two more games to get through on Sunday. Let's see if it works out for RJ Bell. You can find this and so much more at the website pregame.com. Follow RJ on Twitter, as so many of our listeners have, at RJ in Vegas. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is very exciting. I feel like we've heard about the new girl, the new cute girl in class from all of our friends, but we haven't met her until just now. But Emily Morse is here on Twitter at Sex with Emily. She joins us in studio for the first time ever. A lot of our listeners have heard Emily over the years, co-hosting with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood on Loveline. You're a regular on there every Thursday night, right?
I am, every Thursday night.
So right. what's your background? How are you? How are you a sexpert?
How does someone become a sexpert? You know, my interest. I've always been interested in learning about sex and relationships. You know, I used to say I have hands-on experience when I started, because like, why are you an expert? But I started 10 years ago as a podcast in my living room. My background was documentary filmmaking, and I was just like, why are 50% of marriages ending in divorce? And it seems like a lot of the culprit was sex. And I just started interviewing people about their sex life and relationship in a podcast. And then I studied it, read every book on it, and then I got my doctorate in human sexuality. That's how I became a sex expert. And I'm curious,
you got a doctorate in human sexuality.
I did. It was a good time.
Let me ask you this. Does that screw your sex life up by overthinking everything because now you're too smart?
No. You know, everyone asks me, they're like, Emily, really, like, do guys just want to date you because of the thing? And, you know, it really doesn't. I'm not sitting there, like, taking notes, you know, like, hey, to the left, what are you doing with, like, a bullhorn? Like people would imagine. Although I have taken notes, like, after sex that I've thought, okay, I'm going to write. This could be a good tip that I'm going to. I don't use names, though, of people I'm actually with.
All right, you got an event coming up this weekend called the Sexual Health Expo.
Exactly.
That's the website as well, sexualhealthexpo.com. It's at the Sofitel Hotel in Los Angeles.
It is
tickets available for just $25. It is shocking to me how many different topics you're covering in one weekend.
I know, right? I mean, these are the topics that people want to hear about. They want to hear about how to have better sex and relationships, and there's very specific, nuanced events, seminars by like the top leading sexperts. And it's the thing is, I go to all these conferences. Like, for example, last night I was at a porn award show, and there's all these people there, and I learned from them. But this has never been like open to the public where like everyone can go learn what they want,
right,
learn about whatever topic. And then there's like the latest and greatest sex toys and products, and it's going to be a good time. I'm giving the keynote, which I'm going to write this weekend.
Since you said the P word, porn.
Yes.
Let me start with this question, which is, has porn been detrimental to the average person's sex life?
That is a great question. I wouldn't say the average person's sex life. I would say that porn, you know, I have no problem with porn. People have been watching porn since, you know, for a very long time. Everyone's watched. But now that it's everywhere, my problem with porn is it's when young kids are learning from porn.
Right.
And so that's what they think sex is. Oh, this is, you know, it's all about her. And, you know, so I think it's very misleading in that way. And then there are, of course, people who are addicted to porn. That's a whole other thing. But
how much do you run into that on Loveline?
A lot. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that call in. They're like, I want to know. And it's funny because when people call in,
yeah,
they're like,
how can you tell? Well, like, where is that line?
Well, there is a line. Okay, so it's like any addiction. You know, it's fine. You know, you watch it once, twice a day. You hold down your job. Maybe you're in a relationship. You got friends. Everything's fine. But it's when people call and they say, you know, I watch 16 times a day and I can't leave my house. Do you think I have a problem?
Really?
Wait. There could be something going on. Your
really?
Job,
they'll call and still wonder that?
Yeah, no, really. Oh, you can't believe. Well, that's the thing about Loveline is that you can't believe. It's like, have you talked to any about this? Have you talked to your partner? You go to maybe you should go to a doctor for that, like tomorrow. So
let me ask you this, because I feel like I've seen this in various columns on the internet, think pieces about it. Are there people who it's affected their sex life in a negative way in that they're not attracted to their partner because they're so used to the gorgeous people that they're looking at, the fantasy people that they're looking at?
Definitely. No, there is that case of people who it's raised the bar. Because let's be honest, if you're watching one thing, you're like, oh, but then I could watch this. And then you're seeing things that you could never even possibly live out in your life. And the person you're with, you know, she doesn't have full makeup and hair done, and she doesn't necessarily look that. So there is a certain part of your brain that does get wired towards the things that you see, and it sort of, you know, expands your sex life.
That's clearly worse with guys, right? I mean, guys are
clearly.
Really,
it's all like about the guys. They're like, really, like, what did I do before porn, right? There are problems in relationships, but I just say, you know, it's okay to bring it into the relationship. There's a lot of female-friendly porn. There's a lot of, you know, porn that couples can learn. Actually, there are useful tools in it. You watch it together. Hey, babe, does that turn you on? You think that's interesting? Why don't we try that? Because couples don't talk about sex. That's my whole thing. And what my keynote's going to be about on Sunday is that I do believe that, you know, monogamous sex can get a little, you know, monotonous. And so what do people do about it besides turning to porn? How do you talk? Communication is lubrication, I always say. And you got to talk about it, expand it. People don't expect it. It might change over time a little
bit. Why do you think so many of us are uncomfortable with talking about sex? Does that have to do with the way we're raised?
Religion, the way we're raised. Well, it's so ironic because here we are spending like $15 billion like in the porn sex toy industry. But yet we're all so uncomfortable talking about it to our children. It's not accepted. Religion, the way people are brought up.
Yeah.
And so they're not – but they – I just feel like it should be a requirement for couples. Like if you're getting married to someone, you're like, okay, well, how are we going to raise our kids? Are we going to live in the city or country? Should we get a 401k? And what are we going to do when our sex life takes a nosedive? Which is, it's biology. It's gonna change. And how
Emily,
do we handle that?
Fat people shouldn't have sex, though, right?
Wow. All right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not going to say that.
On that note.
I mean, we can't go there. But thanks for asking.
We need to take a break.
Emily Morris is our guest. She's on Twitter at SexWithEmily. Her website is SexWithEmily.com. She's got a doctorate in this subject, guys. She knows what she's talking about. The Sexual Health Expo is for sale right now. Tickets are just $25 all weekend long at the Sofitel Hotel in Los Angeles. Many more topics to cover, including a couple of the things I want to ask you about that are going to be talked about this weekend. Male G-spot prostate pleasure. Ooh. That's a big no, right?
How do I answer that? You know, it's a no. They call it the male
Hold
G-spot.
Hold that thought right there, Emily. We'll discuss when we turn about it for this on K-Rock. Simon Helberg from The Big Bang Theory has got a new movie out. We'll talk to him about that next hour. Also, actress Michelle Trachtenberg on the program as well. Right now, Dr. Emily Morse in studio with us. You know her from Thursday nights on Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. She also is a sex and relationship expert with a very popular podcast called Sex with Emily, available on iTunes. So right before we had to take a break there, I brought up one of the unfortunate things that's going to be going on at your Sexual Health Expo this weekend. And that is the male G-spot.
Yes.
Colon, no pun intended, prostate pleasure.
Right.
You're against that, right?
You know what? I can't say I'm against it. In my business, you really? Know, there's a lot of men who are not gay who mm-hmm. do find pleasure from that area, being stimulated. You know, prostate health, it feels really good. They do call it the male G-spot. I'm not saying it's for everyone. But I feel like what if it feels amazing? What if you never tried it? You're like, oh, I'm on my deathbed, and someone tries. You're like, wow.
I would never miss it. If I never tried it, I would never miss it. I would never
know. I'd be really angry if that's happening to me on my deathbed.
I'm dying. Or maybe not.
Well, maybe not.
You would have questions about your health care provider, wouldn't you, Kevin? Somebody was with it.
Try everything once.
I guess this kind of goes back to what we were saying a few minutes ago, which is the communication issue, which has to be the number one problem in all sex problems is communication. How would somebody bring – like this would be a difficult conversation for either partner to have with the other to bring up, hey, let's try – pushing on your prostate, right?
Yeah. I mean, it depends how long you've been together.
I think that wording is good, though, B.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's try pushing on your prostate.
Well, anything to do with, you know, backdoor anything, people are interested in. Yeah, you know, you get the people like, oh, let's just explore. You know, there's so many, like, toys on the market and things you can try. And yeah, it might be a little difficult, but I don't think – I mean, I think it's just hard for couples to say, hey, we haven't had sex in 3 months. What's going on? Like, let's just talk about that. But, yeah. Prostate's a whole nother level.
All right. What do you tell people, and I'm sure this is another commonly asked question on your various media appearances, about threesomes? It seems to be a very popular fantasy. Is it something that you recommend going for?
It is the number one fantasy, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really is. I
had no idea that was true.
Come on.
Yeah. Kevin is shocked.
Kevin's shocked. I know. He's never thought about it. I'm going to plant these seeds. You know, I have to say that men, yeah, it is. What do I say about it? Okay. I think if you're in a solid place in a relationship with someone that you trust and you love, you've been together and you want to try something new and you set rules ahead of time, you say, okay, this person can sleep over. You know, usually it's about the woman and what she's interested in. But no, is it going to save your relationship if it's abysmal? And you haven't had sex with your partner in 3 months, you're like, hey, maybe we should have a threesome. Like, it's like, let's have a baby. That'll save our relationship. Like, none of these things are good ideas.
Unless you're solid.
Yeah, if you're solid ground. If you're on solid ground and you're an open, you know, you're to explore, you want to, you know, you've been together a long time and you thought this could be fun and you talk it through and how is it going to look and what are we allowed to do, not to do. You set rules. Why not, you know? Some people have a really good time.
I would imagine that most people, though, if their partner comes to them and says, hey, let's have a threesome, I think most people would be really offended by that suggestion.
No, that's not how you start. Okay, so there's a whole – if you're like, hey, babe. Because, yeah,
what a
you're
surprise.
Like, right, your wife's best friend's over. You're like, maybe we should – you know, that's not a great time to start the conversation.
You know how she's hotter than you are, honey?
Right, exactly. Let's call a spade a spade. She's really hot. I think she should sleep over. I wouldn't start that way. But, you know, couples sometimes are just – they're just open. Maybe they're watching porn together. They heard their friends. Or they've been together a long time and they think it might be fun to explore with someone else. And you never just spring it on them. It's not the kind of thing you're, like, going to be at
hey,
a bar.
Surprise.
Guess what? I invited over your hot friend. Right. She brought her pajamas. Is that weird?
Is that cool?
Yeah, and her toothbrush. But, you know, again, I always say negotiate these things ahead of time. I mean, couples, the more that you talk about, you know, what your desires are, what you want, how much often you want to have sex, what you want to change. Because I think the thing about sex, why I do think why 50% of marriages end in divorce and why so many couples do struggle with it is because they never talk about it. It's like they don't plan for monogamous sex. They don't think, you know what? This is the thing. Every day I feel like couples, monogamous couples wake up and it's like they just found out the world wasn't flat. Like they'll call into Loveline or they'll call into Sex or something. They'll say, oh, we've been together now 5 years. We were, you know, we just moved in though, you know, and we're no longer having sex. Like what, like why? And people are so shocked that this happens. And no, this is normal. When you're with someone, the first 6 months to 12 months about is like the peak. It's going to be amazing. The chemicals in your brain are spiking, the dopamine. You can have great, I get great sex with this microphone, right? But then it's going to go, it's going to dive. And what are we going to do about that? It's your, it's biology. It's
prostate
chemistry.
Pleasure. That's what we're going to do about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm like, guess what I brought? I brought you a present, actually. No. So you say like, this is going to happen. And the problem is when couples deprioritize it. And they're like, you know what? It's not important. We don't have to pay attention. You know,
people think it'll take care of itself.
Exactly. They think it's going to take care of itself. And you know what? It doesn't. Because when you ignore sex and you stop having sex, you're roommates.
Let's talk about being like he's not here, my partner. you have a thing, not you, but at the expo, they have a thing called Talk Dirty to Me.
Right.
Where it's about using naughty language, pillow talk, sexual fantasies. Bean can't ask any question of any guest that's remotely about sex without sounding super creepy. How dare you? I can't hear you, by the way.
So
that's not true. Is there room for him at that particular one?
I think it might be good for him. Maybe he'll open
As
up.
Do
that
I.
should be the one that you go to.
Bean, that should be the one you go to.
Well, I've been told that I should never use the phrase sexy time.
No,
I've been told that that's one of the things that that turns people against me.
Yeah, that doesn't work. But hey, babe, let's have some sexy time. No, but it just, you know, there's tips. Some couples are into it. Some partners might say, hey, that would really turn me on if you talk sexy. And they're like, I don't know what, these are calls I get, like, how do I even do it? How do I talk dirty? And so for some people who want to, because the thing is, the sex, like I was saying, it has to expand. Like it should change over time. That's what makes it interesting, because at the beginning of a relationship, it's the mystery, the newness, the excitement. We love all that stuff. But then you commit to someone and you've got stability, you've got the commitment, you've got the known. There's nothing spontaneous or mysterious, and you're like, it's our sex life. So if you can try to infuse new things into it and keep it going. Because like I said, it's not just like, oh, it's sex, we don't care. You need it. Like, it's the glue. And people
Dr. Emily.
Yes.
You're so smart on this topic. And you've spent a lot of time on it with all your various ventures. Do you ever get pushback from people who just can't accept you talking about it? They don't think it's for public consumption. They want their sex to be private and vanilla. And they call you all sorts of horrendous names because you're so outspoken and open about these things.
You know what? I actually have not. I'm sure they exist. Well, let's remember, I just moved here from San Francisco. But no, I really don't. I have to say, I have a Facebook page that's really popular. It's Sex with Emily. And there was something this summer where there was a whole, I mean, I'm assuming religious right, but I don't know. They were, a bunch of people went on a campaign to shut down all the sex pages, which my page is like clean. Like I'm like giving you tips. And so they did shut down my Facebook page because a bunch of people said
wow.
the same. Yeah. And it was like, it was really upsetting because I love my page, my fan. So I talked to a lot of my listeners. And so I had to just, you know, send out a campaign to Facebook and be like, no, this is actually doing good work. It's helping people. I've got
so they basically they reported you to Facebook yes. as if you were obscene and the page should be taken down.
Exactly. And Dan Savage's page got, you know, Dan Savage gives advice.
Sure.
And so there are people against it. But I have to say, I don't get a lot. You know, the thing is, it's a podcast. I used to be on radio in San Francisco, but it's a podcast. It's like anything. If you don't like it, don't download my podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Don't like my Facebook
page. You
have
to really work to get a podcast.
Yeah, you do.
You
yeah.
also have to work to be as offended as some people seem to try and be.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Some well, people like, need to be offended.
Yeah, they're like, let's find this. Like, what if my kid stumbles upon this? And, you know, so no, mostly people are actually, I'm lucky at this point that people are just like, thank you. You saved our relationship. You saved my
that's
marriage.
Good. I'm glad
so
to hear that.
That's why I do it.
So all day Saturday, all day Sunday, you'll be down at the Sexual Health Expo. Sofitel. You've got a booth down
First
there?
First of its kind. Yeah, well, I do have a booth. I have a product line called Emily and Tony. It's emilyandtony.com. And it's massage candles, and there's I brought you guys some presents, something called Down Under Comfort. But there's going to be toys. A lot of couples use toys. Prostate toys, if you'd like me to grab you one.
Thank
Bean,
you.
I will.
I appreciate that. Thank
I can
you.
Just send it to you. Yeah, no problem. And because people are interested, you know, what are the toys? What can we do to make things different? So there are some great – I'm actually this – I'm wearing a necklace right now that's actually a vibrator. It's
oh,
cool.
my god!
It's by Crave, and it's a great gift. So, you know –
That's
I mean,
pretty strong.
Yeah, thank you. It is. You know, and, you know, so, yeah, people can – so many – I'm so in this world that people are like, wow, like, – I want to learn more about it because I know that I get hundreds and hundreds of emails a day. And, you know, Loveline, every night, there's never like a dead phone.
Yeah, right.
People want it. People are dying for it.
Well, people have bodies, you know? So
exactly.
That's a good point.
Exactly. Who doesn't it relate to?
SexualHealthExpo.com for this weekend. Of course, SexWithEmily.com is the website and the podcast. And you can follow Dr. Emily Morse on Twitter at SexWithEmily. I'm glad we got a chance to meet you. Thank you for coming in. Let's do it again sometime.
Love it. I would love it.
Thank you.
Coming up, Wilfred helps his fellow dogs get their revenge. And later, Paris Hilton will present tonight's highest award, the first ever Dog of the Year, when the World Dog Awards returns.
Yeah. Dog of the Year.
Sorry, I missed that, man.
That was a thing for 2 hours.
Come on.
How much of it did you watch, Kevin?
I was dozing off because I forgot about it till like 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. I watched probably three-fourths of it, and then I just stood up and just went, that's it. I can't.
All right. That's a commitment to quality.
That's a lot. Seriously, though. That's to watch that show.
God bless you.
That's a lot.
You are. You deserve a break today.
Hey, how about that Simon Helberg, by the way?
How about him?
He joins us in studio coming up right off the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
We had Simon Helberg on today. We're going to have Michelle Trachtenberg on today. All the Bergs. Today's Berg Day.
Is that all of them?
Get us some actors from the Goldbergs.
You had to go and ruin it, didn't you?
That's a TV, popular TV show that's on the air. That has Berg in the title.
We're having a good time, and then you had to come along. Ruin it for everyone.
When can I ever play?
Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mom. I'm the Cherry Bomb!
Yay!
That was beautiful.
Classic Runaways hit. It's all I keep thinking about today as I read the news that legendary record producer, manager, notorious figure in L.A. music, Kim Fowley, has passed away.
He co-wrote all those songs, too, by the way.
He did.
Not just produced, co-wrote them.
Co-wrote the first two Runaways albums. Best known as the manager of the Runaways, he was also a producer and writer for a bunch of one-hit wonders in the 60s. And he was a hustler, in the words of
quite something to check out.
English writer Barney Hoskins, he was the ultimate Hollywood pop hustler, always out there trying to make a buck, discovering new talent. He worked with like Cat Stevens early in his career and Warren Zevon, so he had some real successes. But of course, the Runaways is how we know him best. If you've never seen the movie The Runaways, look, far be it for me to recommend a movie that has Kristen Stewart in it.
Yeah,
but The Runaways is a really good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Some movies,
she's pretty good in it. Yeah, you know why? Because she plays Joan Jett in it, who's kind of sullen and quiet, and so she's perfect for that. But Dakota Fanning plays Sherry Curry, and Michael Shannon, the great Michael Shannon, plays Kim Fowley in this film, and he's brilliant. So, if you have any interest in the LA music scene of the 70s, you should check out that film.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
No, we're not going to do that. Speaking of music, Mark Ronson still rules the Billboard Hot 100 for the second week. Uptown Funk, still number one. Then Blank Space by Taylor Swift. Take Me to Church, Hozier. It was third.
Boy, that song has hung, hasn't it? Take Me to Church?
It's a massive,
what has it been, 8 months? A year?
Yep. Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran. I'm Not the Only One. Sam Smith. Lips Are Moving. Meghan Trainor. I didn't even know she had another song.
Oh, yeah. That's very popular.
Well, I can see that because it's number 6 on the list that I'm reading right here. I'm just saying I didn't know that it existed. Sing a little bit for me, Bean, so I know. So maybe
I can't.
Maybe I'll remember it. If you just
tiny piece.
Just give me a little bit of it.
I really, honestly, I don't know how it goes, but I have heard it, and it is okay.
Praise. Jealous, Nick Jonas. Love Me Harder, Ariana Grande in the Weekend. Shake It Off, Taylor Swift, and then All About the Bass, Meghan Trainor is the 10th hottest single in the world right now.
That's not a lot of K-Rock music.
It sure is not.
Nope.
Let me see if there's anything in the top 15 I can find. Fall Out Boy, number 15 with Centuries.
And we'll take a piece of Hozier.
Sure.
Will we?
But that's about it.
All right, we'll take a piece of him. And Chase Reed is my new hero. This kid's genius.
Chase Reed, Private Eye.
16-year-old kid in New York has just opened up his own business, and I think he might be a genius. It's called Sneaker Pawn. It is a pawn shop. Only for high-end athletic shoes.
Genius.
So it works just like a regular pawn shop. But you take in your
Air Jordans, whatever pricey kicks you have.
So you spent $110 on them or whatever.
He gives you $50 for them like a pawn shop would, and then he holds them as collateral. If you don't pay back, boom, he's got some high-end sneakers that he can sell online or to collectors and make a little cash.
Huh.
Deals only in sneakers.
Huh.
Sneaker pawn. How soon until this kid gets his own reality show, by the way? We've got every other freaking pawn shop in America's got their own show.
That is true.
I'm sure sneaker pawn's right around the corner. But 16 years old. What were you doing when you were 16 years old?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
That's what I thought.
You know, that Antique Road Show. Love that show.
Love that show.
And the pickers?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
American Pickers. I love that, too.
I couldn't tell. One of the shows that's coming up, maybe it's this weekend, Ralph, on Antique Road Show. I couldn't tell what the item was, but they showed the clip of the woman saying that the thing is worth over $1 million that somebody brought into the Antique Road Show.
Huh.
Who has anything hanging around their house that they bring into something like that? They don't know what it's worth, and it's worth over $1 million.
Wow. I'm bored.
Me too.
Put on your gloves, Lisa.
I will.
Today's celebrity birthdays. It would be that story would be so much better, Bean, if you knew what the
I think they were postcards.
I saw the trailer, a series of postcards. Not watching that.
$1 million?
I don't care. I don't care about people's
junk. I was fascinated by that.
Isn't that like one in a million people, though?
I mean, yes, that's why it's interesting. That's why I mentioned it.
God bless.
If it happened to everybody, it wouldn't be interesting, Kevin.
Good for her. Godspeed. I hope she has a great time with that $1 million.
I mean, I've seen that show. I've seen that show a lot. And you know, if something's worth $800, it's a huge deal. This guy walked out there with $1 million item. I just was like, wow. So now I got to see that episode.
I don't have any time to watch.
Isn't that a one in a million guy, though? That's boring. That's like the story of the guy who swam for 9 hours in the ocean when his boat sank. If it was a guy walking down the street for 10 minutes, we wouldn't really be talking about it. It wouldn't be news, Kevin.
I'm just saying, I don't need to see a TV show about other people's junk, which might every once in 10 years be worth something.
There's a lot of things that are worth something
I'm
on
out.
That show.
Nothing you could say. I'm a busy guy.
You're not.
I have bad movies
You're
to go to.
You're just dope.
You're a Muppet.
Today's celebrity birthdays, director John Gore. You are not the poster boy for critical thinking. That's
right.
What I'm thinking today.
But I'm fine with that.
You are just Captain Knee-Jerk.
I'm okay with that.
With a capital jerk. Just for no reason. You just react to things. It just makes no sense.
I know what I don't like. I don't like watching other people's junk on TV.
You don't know what you don't like because how many times have you told me your wife takes you some movie that you thought you'd hate and you end up loving it because you had a knee-jerk reaction and you said, oh, I'm not going to go see that.
I don't think I'm right all the time.
I learned that a long time ago. You don't even know what you don't like.
I do, for the most part.
I think you are very comfortable being super insulated in your own little bubble. And I think you do push back on anything that's a little bit different.
Yeah, or I don't have interest in looking at other people's crap. Couldn't it just be that?
Have you given it a shot? Let's sit down and watch some Antique Roadshow.
I have
together.
No interest in that.
Come on. We'll have your maid translate for us, and it'll be wonderful. Today's celebrity birthday is John Carpenter, legendary director. 67 years old today. Model Kate Moss turns 41. And Angels first baseman Albert Pujols. Celebrates his 35th birthday. 53
yeah,
would really be
something.
Impressive. He was playing at 53. He's 35 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You should have a nurse that travels with you just like to give you fluids and stuff, Simon. You know, when you're taking all these planes back and forth just to keep you alive for these interviews, dude.
If you're offering, that sounds kind of erotic.
Bean would be a great nurse.
Yeah, he really would.
Simon Helberg in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him as Howard on the Big Bang Theory. And he's in here to talk about a big motion picture that's available here in the next couple of days. But this week, what has this week been like for you, Simon? Tell me about this.
Well, I came here for the fluids, first of all, so I'm still waiting. but I've been doing a lot of – yeah, I took two red eyes in 24 hours, so I'm a zombie. But
New York and back.
That's how people get Ebola, isn't it?
Last night my stomach was hurting, and I was like, this is it. This is the end.
I'm going to die.
I'm going to be that guy.
I'm going to die before my movie comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I died trying to promote it, so I guess it worked out.
Are you in the period of a couple of weeks hiatus from Big Bang right now in order to be able to promote like you're doing?
You'd hope, but no. I'm going to work from here. I'm not going to complain.
Planning continues.
yeah. No, it's busy. It's been a busy time. And I showed up in New York actually, and they thought I was coming the day before because I was on this red eye, and I walked into my room, and there were two Jamaican housekeepers having a six pack of hard cider watching the Today Show.
And you're like, all right, let's go.
I was like, it's on. Am I breaking up the party? And can I join? That's weird. It was bizarre. And they told me there was cheese in the room that had been starting to smell. I don't know who left the cheese or if that was a metaphor, but anyhow.
It's probably a metaphor, yeah.
And
I thought I saw you on something last – were you doing something last night with Chuck Lorre?
I was, yeah. I was massaging him. We were honoring him at Warner Brothers for being, like, you know, the most prolific, brilliant man in television. So
he's got like four TV shows on the air right now, right? And the cast from all of those shows were at one location at the same time.
Yeah, it was weird. It was definitely like a row of the most successful shows on television. All the actors, all the producers and writers, and you're like, wow, this is one man. This came out of his head, and obviously he's incredibly generous and mentioned all of the other helping hands that contribute to that. But he's the king of TV.
What do you think Chuck Lorre's worth?
in all, dollars or
all yeah. dollars?
I mean, you have one show like yours or one show like Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
I mean, that sets you up for the rest of your life and your kids' life and your grandkids' life. But you have four of those shows on the air at the same time. He's printing money, that dude.
I mean, let's just say he has an assistant just to carry his wallet.
Sweet.
I think it's a lot.
That's nice. Are you allowed to look him in the eyes?
No, never, never. Okay. I think you turn to stone. yeah.
So, Simon, you're living your life, and you're on one of the funniest shows on TV, and you're making the big bucks yourself. Yet, it's not enough for you. You've got to go off and take on this movie that you wrote, that you co-directed with your wife, that you starred in. What's the motivating factor?
What's driving you?
I'm trying to get Ebola. It's not worked out for me. I lived probably the most clumsy, horrific breakup of all time, and followed by an even more disastrous proposal, and it was with my wife. And I thought, I don't think anybody has a more embarrassing story than me, and I'd like to tell that and make other people feel better.
So the
about
girl that is the focus of this movie turns out to then be your wife.
Yeah, so my wife and I, in some perverse, masochistic decision, went and told the story of our demise together, went back to these locations, went back to Paris. It was an intercontinental breakup. I sobbed throughout national landmarks in France. I pleaded, I groveled.
That's rough.
Yeah, and so I said, let's go back to those places again, and we'll bring a camera crew, and this time you can tell me what to do, which is maybe that was her plan all along. That's a great revenge.
Yeah,
she actually gets to direct
me. So she could literally rewrite history.
Yeah, she could direct me in those scenes. She could say, in real life, you're much more pathetic when you're pleading, or you're way too masculine. I need a higher pitch decibel here for the squealing that's coming out of you. So yeah, she got to, and then her parents got to watch me reenact these scenes in which I was, philandering with other girls. It was a very odd, as I was doing this, like, I think this is actually going to be the end of our relationship.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, no kidding.
You have a two.
Yeah. So we'll do a sequel, yeah.
What did you do, like, when you look back on the real life, and we'll talk about the movie some too, but when you look back on the real life way you played it, what was your big mistake? Did you ask her to marry her too soon?
No, that was one of them, because it was like a 1-2 punch of breaking up and then propose. You're not supposed to, if you break up, you break up. You don't break up and then propose and then. But it was a lot of back and forth. I was in my mid-20s, and I think it's that, that quarter life crisis moment and should I sow my oats? And then I couldn't find even one oat to sow, so I just went back and forth. I thought maybe I have feelings for other people. Maybe I need to be a man. If I'm too comfortable, then I'm not really living my life. There should be some pain here. I was very neurotic.
What was the shortest amount of time between breaking up and asking her to marry you in real life?
I mean, the whole thing, actually, from the moment that I thought, hey, I love you, I think we should break up, and then to propose, it was like a few months back and forth to Paris. There, I thought, maybe I should go out with this girl. No, okay, I'll try going out with this girl. No, I got to go back. And then I confess to my now wife all these feelings that I thought I had for other people. And then she'd kick me out. And then I'd go back and I'd win her back. And then I'd confess something else. It was like I was compulsively confessing. And I don't know. I think I self-destructed. It was just I systematically kind of destroyed the lives of everyone around
me. How did you ever land her?
I think it was bullying. most people are against bullying. I say it brings great romance.
but in a way, you were in your mid-20s, and it sounds like you weren't sure you were ready to get married.
Yeah.
So I think you did err on the I think your instincts were correct. Hey, maybe I shouldn't get married, but I think maybe you just handled it in a very clumsy way.
Yes. As I talk to more and more people, everybody's like, oh, you're talking, you know, the breakup before the proposal. I had that. Or, you know, oh, that
really?
Less than perfect proposal. Yeah, we had a horrible proposal. So I started to realize this is a common theme. I think people need to kind of rip the rug out from under their lives and set everything on fire just to prove that they can put it all back together again.
Simon, I don't remember this because I have a notoriously horrible memory, and I think I no joke have early onset Alzheimer's. But my wife tells the story that she and I broke up the day before we got married.
Well, see, there you go.
How do you not remember that?
And you're still married to her and you don't even remember? Do you remember the wedding?
No, I don't remember the wedding either. So maybe that's part of the problem. But she says we broke up the day before we got married. So I think a lot of us have questions leading up to that big day because it's a huge decision.
Yeah, I think you're, you know, and it was – and then, of course, I rushed my timing was just terrible. You know, I tracked her down in Paris to surprise
her. Well, I love
her.
That. That's the most pathetic part of this whole thing is that you got on a plane and stalked the woman that you had broken up with.
Yeah, well, I thought this is going to be so – this could be a romantic comedy someday. Now, I guess it technically is a romantic comedy. Comedy, but it's kind of like a tragic comedy. You're laughing at, you're slapping your forehead the whole time. Like, oh my God, this guy! But not a
pause right there, Simon, because I'm fascinated with this part of the story because this is the part of the story that if you just see the trailer for the film, which by the way is called "We'll Never Have Paris," the website is willneverhaveparismovie.com, and it's available in theaters and on demand next Friday. But when you see the trailer, you go, "Well, that's Hollywood right there. That's so unrealistic. Nobody gets
ridiculous.
On a plane and stalks the woman. That's what Simon really did." So we'll find out about that and talk more about the movie with our guest Simon Hilberg when we return on the world-famous K-Rock. The Big Bang Theory's Simon Hilberg in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new film is available in theaters and on demand next weekend. It's called We'll Never Have Paris. Simon, when I was watching the trailer, I thought two things. First, I thought, it's so great to see you not have the Three Stooges hairdo that we're so used to seeing you on the Big Bang Theory. It looked like a regular person. And then I thought, how does a first-time director, you first-time director-writer, is this new for you?
Yes.
How did you get such a great cast?
Yeah, again, bullying. That's how I won back my wife, and I'm a ruthless.
It works in every facet.
Yeah, I recommend it. Luck is one of definitely the key components, and I guess they responded to the script. Most of them I didn't know before, so it really was like sending a letter to Alfred Molina and Zach Quinto and Maggie Grace and these people who I didn't know. And I did know Melanie Lynskey and Jason Ritter, and there's great people. But, they responded, and I just –
that's amazing.
As an actor, did that give you a new appreciation for people trying to get you to read stuff?
It did. I immediately learned how to read after that. It's – yes, you do – wow, there's a lag time there sometimes getting folks to pay attention to you. So I was – we were very lucky.
I've been trying to get Maggie Grace to be in a movie with me for a long time.
Yeah.
He always says no.
Well, when she shows up and there's no cameras, it's just,
I know, right?
It's a little creepy. It's a dead giveaway. Yeah.
All right. So in real life, and of course we see this played out in the movie, and the character of your wife is played by the great Melanie Lynskey, who, by the way, I'm now so in love with as a result of Togetherness, the new show that she's in. It's
isn't
so
great,
isn't it?
Yeah.
She's so pretty and so funny.
Yeah.
So you follow in real life. Now we're going back to the real event. So you follow your wife. You guys break up, and then you go, oh my God, I made a terrible mistake. I'm going to make this huge, great romantic gesture and fly to Paris and surprise her. Your wife is off having me time, right?
Yeah, she wanted to find herself, you know, and I said, all right, well, not if I find you first. This is not creepy, right?
What an awkward flight that must have been. This must have been like, am I doing
– the flight home was way more awkward.
Yeah, I guess so.
But flying there, I was still like, oh, man, this is – I mean, not since Casablanca has there been. And
greatest then, love story ever told.
Yeah, and then I knock on the door, and the look in her eyes was like – it was like – it really was like, we need to call the institution and have you committed. This is, and I could tell really immediately when she opened the door, I'm not kidding, that it was wrong and something was happening that she wasn't telling me. And we kind of walked around for the whole day and she was being very strange. And I finally said, what did you – I mean, she'd only been there like 5-6 days. I said, did you meet somebody? And she just was silent. And she had met a guy in like 5 days, a French violinist.
Oh, that makes it so much worse than
he's
French. He's French and he plays the violin.
Yeah. And the worst part was we were staying in his apartment that she was subletting it. And so she had kind of met him when they exchanged the keys. And I hope that's all they exchanged. But yeah, so
Simon, that must have been – at the time, it must have felt like literally –
the worst moment of your life?
It was. I remember I was dry heaving. I've never had that experience before. I was like, sick
to your stomach, right?
Yeah.
I fly all the way to Paris to win you back, and you're with somebody else.
Yeah, and I cried. I mean, in the Père Lachaise, and not, you know, I wasn't mourning the death of Proust. I was really I was just throwing myself at her. And finally, she said, "You need to go." But I mean, we had like there were.
I don't know
moments.
How you recover from that, Simon.
I'll tell you how you come home and you buy an engagement ring. And you think this'll get her?
This is avalanche of bad decisions.
You are a mess, my friend.
It's the Chernobyl of proposals. and then the proposal was horrific, and it just eventually kind of it was like it calmed down. My timing was so off, and we kind of got in sync months and months later, and we sort of laughed about it. But then I wrote the script, and I thought, oh my god, is she going to be okay with it? How much am I revealing? And when she laughed, I thought, I think I've. That was the toughest audience because I really, you know, it's a pretty revealing.
She doesn't really look bad in it from what I've seen.
I guess you're right. No wonder she laughed. She was
laughing.
Like, finally the world will know.
She's laughing because it's
what I put up with.
Yeah. Exactly.
So in retrospect, though, the choices that you made, the other women that you dated, and I guess there were a few while you guys were kind of separated in this relationship she had in Paris. It's kind of good that you guys got that stuff out of your system and kind of came full circle back around to realize, no, we're the people who should be together, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was, you know, I think it was an essential part of that time. I mean, I don't think it wasn't like I was convinced I was going to go, you know, play the field, and the field was it was a barren dirt lot.
The ballpark was closed.
Hey, I thought there were women everywhere. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, it really was. It was, and there was. And my friends and I are not. You know, I know it's so shocking, but we're not like macho guys. We didn't go to clubs. Yeah, I know. And I was like, you know, let's take our mind off girls. Let's try to, you know, let's kind of just go be guys. And if some girls come along, we ended up going and literally riding a Surrey with a fringe on top up near the coast in California. We drove up to like Solvang, and it was the least manly trip of all time.
Solvang.
No. Yeah, you're supposed to go
unless
to Hollywood Boulevard or Las
unless
Vegas.
Unless you're in the mood for some pea soup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't go to a little Dutch town when you're
you. You're so, a disaster.
Yeah, it was really there was no it wasn't the like let's go to Vegas, but yeah, I definitely
it was not the hangover.
No,
it's not the hangover.
It's kind of the opposite. Yeah, just over intellectualizing, super neurotic version of.
But there must be some girl out there that you dated briefly, like whoever Maggie Grace is playing in the film, who now sees you as a multimillionaire TV star and goes, "Oh, I blew it."
Oh God!
Right?
I think everybody's better off. I mean, did you hear the story I just told you?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a charity case. My wife is doing me a favor.
I don't know that I've ever seen somebody write a personal movie that is so dead on to what actually happened. No embellishment needed.
Well, to be fair, there is. I mean, to make it a movie, I did have to make it a movie, and so I will say I wish more of it was fictional, but like
some of it is.
Yes. I'd say about half of it is in terms of the kind of major climactic farcical moments and things like that. But in terms of the structure, following her to Paris, blowing it at every turn, yes, I that unfortunately is ripped from the headlines.
A lot of our audience is in the film business and would love to be where you are being able to make an independent movie. Was it as difficult as you thought it would be, Simon?
You know, it was more difficult. It really was. It was not like, and you know, I'm on a great show, and I guess people recognize me, and that helped.
That definitely opened some doors.
Yeah, it at least gets people to say, "Oh, who is this guy? Oh, that guy with the Three Stooges haircut." Okay, but it doesn't make everybody say, "Oh, I want to work with that guy." And then in terms of raising money and like getting that kind of cast together in one place at one time for that budget, and then you're shooting we shot in Brooklyn. It was the biggest heat wave in 40 years, and I mean that stuff was its own challenge, but. Just getting all of the money and scheduling together, it took a couple years. It was really
wow. So you're so happy now that it's finally going to be available. Is it going to be in just a few theaters and on demand pretty much everywhere?
It's going to be in about 15 theaters across the country. It'll be at the iPic Westwood here in L.A., and then it'll be on iTunes and on demand and every, you know, cable provider and all that.
That's great.
Yeah, Thursday the 22nd in theaters and Friday iTunes and on demand.
That's fantastic. The film is called We'll Never Have Paris. It looks really, really sweet and really funny, Simon. Congratulations, too,
thanks.
By the way.
So cool to see you guys.
It's really awesome. It's great to see you again. Of course, The Big Bang Theory airs Thursday nights at 8 on CBS now in the 8th season of the show. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Simon. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Garman did a story on the Showbiz Beat a couple of days ago that I have many questions about.
And I'm going to start with this question for you, Kevin. It involves Justin Bieber.
Yep.
But don't turn off your radio yet because it's funny. He's 20 years old.
Right.
Should he know who Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is if he encounters him on vacation? Or should he not recognize him because the Rolling Stones would be so far off somebody like Bieber's radar? Because, you know, Justin Bieber grew up in a time where, you know, all he listens to is R&B and hip-hop. Why would he know the Rolling Stones from, you know, essentially the 60s and 70s?
I don't think he should, but I think in most cases he probably would, just because Keith Richards is such a famous musician and he's
20,
in the
though.
Music
Bieber
business.
Is 20.
Oh, I know.
Well, the story, as Ralph reported it, is that they found themselves at the same bar at the Parrot Cay Island in Turks and Caicos. And the story says there was an old guy throwing back drinks who looked at Justin Bieber and said, "Who the F are you?" one source recalls. In response, Justin Bieber shot back, "I don't know. Who the F are you?"
Yeah!
Which is a little bit mouthy when you're talking about one of the freaking Rolling Stones in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a band that has been successful for, I don't know, about three times as long as Justin Bieber has been alive. So let's not leave it to the reports. Let's go straight to the horse's mouth and get Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones on the phone, because maybe he can perhaps bring us up to speed on what actually happened there on vacation. Hey, Keith, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you? Good. Well, it's great to talk to you. Does any of this that we've just been saying about Justin Bieber sound familiar?
Did he come up and say hi to you?
No, he just walked in the bar.
He just walked into the bar. I heard that.
And I'm just saying, "Who the F are you?"
Okay, so you said, "Who the F are you?" And then he turned back and said the same thing back to you. Now, that does not sound like an auspicious start to a friendship.
No, it's not a really particularly good comeback either.
No.
So you're 71 years old. I guess I'll ask the same question in reverse that we were talking about the Biebs recognizing you. Did you know who he was?
No, I've got polyps in my colon older than him.
I think you probably don't know who most people are at this point.
I know a lot of people are. I just wasn't really all tired. They were baby.
Suck guy. Yeah, well, you're not missing anything, but you are 71 years old. There's no reason for you to hang out with Justin Bieber, and I'm concerned that this report makes it sound like once individual people said, "Oh no, that's who that person is," then you guys actually had a conversation and maybe even left as friends.
No, we didn't have a drink.
A drink. Okay.
And you know. Let's get one thing straight.
Yes.
You're a wannabe.
Yeah, you said, "Let's get one thing straight. You're a wannabe."
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, he cried like a bitch.
He cried like a bitch. Okay. That part was missing from the story.
Cried like a bitch. And then he went in the men's room with a guy.
What? What? Now, what did he just say?
He went to the men's room with a guy?
Yeah, a couple of guys.
Now, are you sure about that?
I heard a seal performing.
Well, now it sounds like you're just making stuff up to start rumors.
I can only make stuff up.
Keith, how are you still alive? Seriously, how are you still alive?
I'm not sure I am.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:52.
Too bad Mike Catherwood's not with us anymore. Remember how he used to tell us that he used to cry every time he would watch Ice Princess? That was his favorite movie, Ice Princess. He used to weep.
Ice Princess.
Movie that Michelle Trachtenberg stars in, and she's joining us on the show coming up right after the top of the hour.
Yeah.
That was Mike's movie, man. Waterworks get going every time he sees that film for some reason. All right, we'll talk, Michelle, about Sleepy Hollow right off the top of the hour. First, though, wrap us here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, tonight, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are back on stage at the Improv on Melrose doing Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We'd love to have you come join us.
No.
Come on. Just come once.
I don't think you're ever going to win Nopi over,
dude.
I don't
think I will. Nopi's hard. He's a hard case.
Where'd Nopi come from? I don't know what Nopi is.
It's Gumby's dog.
Okay. All right.
Gumby, come on, the Kevin. Grease,
get it together.
Lab of clay.
Good enough.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets for the show tonight at 10 p.m. with me and Kevin.
Hell no.
I think you'll be there.
Come to think of it, no.
While we're talking about the stage, hey, do you have a kid who wants to be on Broadway? Well, who doesn't? They're doing a Broadway version of the movie The School of Rock, and producers looking for boys and girls ages 9 to 15 who can sing and or act and or play guitar, bass, drums, keyboards. Auditions will be held
here in Los Angeles this Saturday, and then on the 24th in New York and Chicago. If you need more details, go to schoolofrockthemusical.com. The show is set to open this winter, November the 2nd, at the Winter Garden Theater in New York City, The Great White Way. It's very exciting.
Does that movie seem like one that will lend itself well to the theater, Ralph?
Very much so, yes.
I like
it's about kids playing
rock
music live, and there's a bunch of classic hits that they will revisit for the musical, and they're also writing some original songs for the show as well. I think it's got some real potential.
That was probably Richard Linklater's most popular film, I would imagine, right?
I would have to say probably yes. Speaking of Broadway, we knew who was going to perform at the halftime show at the Super Bowl, right? We knew it was going to be Katy Perry, and she was going to invite that Lenny Kravitz along.
Right.
But now we know who's going to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Dick Coop.
USA! USA!
Sorry, Bean, you play yours.
Dick Poop.
No, Dick Poop will not be singing the national anthem. I'm giving you your window. You going to use it or not?
I'm trying not to step on people. Go ahead.
No, usually I say the name.
USA! USA! USA!
Any other guesses?
USA!
No, stop it.
Just hit the button, Kevin. Make him happy.
It's Idina Menzel.
Adel Dazeem.
That's right, Adel Dazeem will be singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
I find this more fun to aggravate, Ralph.
Last night, something like this, you played a bunch of celebrity names after I already said who was going to be on it.
That happened too, yes.
Yes. So here I was giving you a chance
to play
a list of comedy names like you guys like to do in these situations, and then you don't.
Adel Dazeem.
That's the actual one, Adel Dazeem. Idina Menzel of Let It Go fame will be singing the national anthem.
Ryan Gosling.
Hall of Fame! And speaking of sports, Shamar Moore, you know him from Criminal Minds? TMZ.com asked him who he thought they had the hottest body in female sports, and his answer was simple. It's his girlfriend, Shauna Gordon. You may not know that name, but she is a soccer professional for the New Jersey Blue Sky FC. Professional woman soccer. Oh, Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine professional woman soccer and then watching that?
Is that big, Kevin?
It's pretty high quality.
Oh.
It is. It's pretty high quality.
All right. Well,
I know it's not for you.
You say that because I got you tickets to the WNBA. I got you season tickets to the Sparks. So I
who's,
hope you enjoy that.
Who's the Los Angeles women's team, Kevin?
I don't think we have one.
It's the Palm Fronds. The L.A. Palm Fronds.
I don't think we have one.
It is. No.
I don't think we have one.
I think we have the Reign. I think we have the Seattle Reign, R-E-I-G-N. I think that's our team, but I don't know anything about them.
Stop acting like soccer exists.
Well, they got to get the ladies for the Women's World Cup team from somewhere, right?
Yeah. Some other place.
Okay.
Hey,
so you're
you know,
out.
You know that soccer? You know soccer? Yeah. That's a professional league where women play it.
No way!
It's pretty high quality.
It happens. Tell me you watch it. Tell me you watch it.
Well, I have a daughter, so sometimes I do.
Yeah, I have a daughter, too.
But I don't. Without her, no. But it's pretty high quality.
Stop saying it's pretty high quality.
The women Olympic team, number one in the world.
Antiques Roadshow, pretty high quality.
Nope.
That's all I'm saying. It's pretty high quality stuff right there. And more sports news. This has become less showbiz beat and more sports beat. But things do not look good for legendary pugilist Muhammad Ali.
Oh, no.
Ali turns 73 tomorrow. However, he is back in intensive care today. He just got out of intensive care. But early yesterday morning, he was found unresponsive in his home. And in Scottsdale, Arizona, one of his staff there called 911. He had been asleep for over 24 hours. Boxer not only suffers from Parkinson's disease, but he was recovering from pneumonia and a urinary tract infection. Just left the hospital a few days ago, is back in the hospital right now in intensive care and apparently not doing so well. So
every time I see them trot him out for some sort of event, I always feel like it would be better for him if he was just at home relaxing.
Yeah.
It looks like a tremendous amount of effort to get him anywhere.
I hope he's not in any pain because
he
was one of the greats. Today's celebrity birthdays. First baseman for Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Albert Pujols, 35 years old today. Model Kate Moss is 41 years old. And movie director John Carpenter. You know, one of my favorite things John Carpenter ever directed, he's best known for his horror work, The Thing, Halloween, of course, Escape from New York. But he also directed a TV movie starring Kurt Russell about the life of Elvis Presley.
Hmm.
And it's a really well-done, fascinating film. This was before Elvis even died, I think, and became sort of like a standard fare for movies and stuff. But it was really, really good. If you ever get a chance, check it out. Kurt Russell as Elvis is not somebody you would automatically think of casting him as, but it was terrific. He's 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to James Sach from La Mirada. Just got tickets for, for tickets to go see Coachella and to pick one band that's playing Coachella and see them anywhere they're playing in the world in the next year.
That is a pretty sweet prize, by the way. How often do you get to pick the country that you want to go to?
Not often, Bean.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing. I love this one. I love it. And you have another chance to qualify at noon, and then at 3, and then at 6, and then at 9 o'clock again tonight. You pick the band, you pick the city. Details at KROQ.com. Michelle Trachtenberg on the line. She's going to be appearing on Sleepy Hollow Monday night at 9 on Fox. She was just telling Dave off the air. Do I have this right, Michelle? Has it really been 10 years since we've talked to you on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I think so. I think I must have done something terribly wrong, and it's taken me 10 years to make up for it.
I can't imagine how time flies that fast, but it's great to have you back on. And I see from IMDb that you have just been being busy being on every TV show that's on the air since we last talked to you.
Oh, yes. Well, that's on my goal, my to-do list, just crossing them all off. Next is Scandal, and then anything that my mom watches, I'm going to have to be on.
This Sleepy Hollow, I don't think is for me, but am I right that it's about Ichabod Crane and it's set in colonial America and it involves like all sorts of crazy historical and fantasy guest stars, right?
Yes, all of the above, except it's actually set in modern times and he's been brought out from the colonial time into this film.
I got you. So you play Abigail Adams on the show, who, Kevin, you're going to be amazed when I tell you this, was a real person. Abigail Adams was the first second lady and the second first lady of the United States.
That's confusing.
Well, she was the
impressive. I barely get that out. I'm like, first, she was really important.
Well,
okay?
I think I have it right. I think John Adams, her husband, was George Washington's vice president, so she was the first second lady. And then when he became president, she became the second first lady. I think that's right.
Yeah.
So will we see her back in colonial times, or is she also brought into modern day?
She is in colonial times. And I get to wear all the fabulous gowns and corsets and, you know, dislocate a rib. Totally a good time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Are you playing young, hot Abigail Adams or old and busted after six kids Abigail Adams?
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you calling me old and busted?
No. I don't know how they, you know, made you up with makeup and, you know, prosthetics and outfit, you know, the clothing and everything else.
No prosthetics, just this little face. But my breastises were definitely up to high heaven. So in that corset, but I do think it was young and hot, or I'd like to think so.
That's fantastic.
Now, when
okay.
you go and you go on a show like Sleepy Hollow, how much research do you have to do? Do you have to watch this? You know, it's been on. This is the second season, right?
Yeah. Well, I had a very close friend of mine is the executive producer. His wife is one of my closest friends, Len Weissman, and I originally had watched the show. For him, and then I live alone, so I couldn't continue to watch the show because there are too many gowls and ghosts and things that go the night, and I have an overactive imagination. So I haven't seen the show since then, and then I tuned back in. I had to do a lot of actual historical research because I wanted to get her voice right, and there are a lot of her old letters that she used to write to John Adams available where you can sort of get her jam going.
Did you see the John Adams miniseries that they did about the Adams family?
Not even a little.
Oh, it was so good. Laura Linney played Abigail Adams in that, and she was great.
Did she have her jam going?
She didn't have her jam going. She didn't have her jam going.
Didn't play it in Sleepy Hollow, I'm just saying.
Sleepy Hollow airs Monday night on Fox. Michelle, I noticed from your Twitter, you seem to be, speaking of fantasy, you seem to be all about the Disney and all about the Harry Potter. Is that accurate?
That's totally accurate. I am just shy of my 30th birthday, and I It's in a few months, and I feel like I need to embrace the child that was. And I love Disneyland.
What do you think it is about all that stuff that still gets you so excited now?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's that I want to believe that magical realism exists and that I could just whip out a wand and turn, you know, a nemesis into a frog. That seems like a delightful way to spend, you know, a Friday.
It doesn't seem like you really believe that, though. I mean, at some point you're going to have to face up to the fact that it's fantasy.
Are you also trying to tell me that there's no
Santa Claus?
Yeah, don't shatter her illusions. Let her enjoy her life. I wondered when I saw that, though, I wondered if that's what attracted you to acting, is you just enjoy playing other people in fantasy and just your imagination cannot be contained.
Now you're just making me sound like a fetishist.
you're doing a Twitter chat today.
I am, for Zimbio. Where people will ask me questions, hopefully, that aren't that creepy.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. When you open yourself up to the public for questions, that has to concern you, right?
It's definitely a lot. Not going to lie. It's a lot. But, I mean, it's great because you get to, like, the really cool fans are like, oh, bringing up great projects or whatnot. I do have to request that they all, not all of them, but I do have a massive pet peeve because I have been acting for so long and people still, you know, lead with, she's all grown up. It's like, the jig is up, boo.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, to see how many fans you have that are seriously still invested in you all over the world. I mean, I'm looking on the questions now. They're from France and then Peru. I mean, they're everywhere all over the world, which is one of the awesome things about the internet, I guess. Here's a question for you. I want you to cheat and give us the answer on this one first so that before you have to answer it online. Serious question. This is from Tess Welburn. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you admire unicorns?
Oh, that's like a billion. That's so
easy. How did you not
know
that?
You guys can't see unicorns because only virgins can see unicorns. I mean, don't you know anything about the folklore?
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we have lost Michelle.
Michelle's gone bye-bye.
I sound like a delusional actress that sees butterflies everywhere.
What is your next dream acting gig? You've been on so many different TV shows, you know, Gossip Girl, obviously, Criminal Minds, Robot Chicken, Weeds. You've been on so many, NCIS. What's the show you'd love most to be on but they haven't asked yet, Michelle?
Oh, that's a tough one. I usually do get to bully my way into a lot of shows. I mean, with Criminal Minds, they had wanted me to do an episode for years, and my big role was I had to play the killer, which I did. I do
nice.
Playing the serial killer. That's exciting. I've always loved eras, though. Like, I want to, you know, do something from the 20s and then the 40s and 50s. I just don't want to do, apparently, anything where a cell phone is involved.
Yeah. So we have to get you on, like, Downton Abbey or something, then.
Oh, God, it's that. Yes, I'm going to put on my accent now, and then I can totally go on Downton Abbey.
Boom! Casting directors, get on it. You can follow her on Twitter at RealMichelleT, and Sleepy Hollow airs Monday nights at 9 on Fox. And be sure to look for Michelle Trachtenberg. She's going to be playing Abigail Adams in a guest appearance. And this is a one episode only, right?
Quite possibly. Gotcha. I'm never allowed to say that, but I think if people enjoy the episode, you never know. Abigail Adams had a whole lot of, you know, lives and stories to tell.
See? We'll talk to you in 2025.
Oh, okay, great. Yes. And then you could look at the pictures on my Instagram, which is just at Michelle Trachtenberg. Do you like what I did there? Do you like how I just...
That was sweet.
Very smooth. Very smooth. Thanks, Michelle. We love you.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Ralph, you do a lot of terrific work on the Kevin and Bean Show throughout the week with the Showbiz Beats every hour. This Showbiz Beat, the last one on Friday, is the worst of all of them, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why, you mean because generally we fall apart? Or
I just think Ralph's got one eye on the door. That's all.
I feel like we all probably do. You can't say those. You can say you.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But the F word has changed. Yeah, the last couple days.
I heard it in a song just minutes ago.
Yeah, maybe you did.
Yeah, I did. So I'm suing somebody.
Okay. Really? Do we have a song with the F word in it?
Yeah.
That didn't seem good.
No, I think it's all good.
Okay. All right.
What's the song we just played? Come on, Chip. Get on it.
We're falling apart now. This is
us falling apart. You're right.
Damn it by Blink-182?
Yeah, Damn it, Blink-182.
That's good.
Perhaps when you think cruise, you'd imagine staged entertainment, excessive dining, dressy attire, and stops in only a few major ports. Hurtigruten is none of that. On board our smaller ships, you're in good company with like-minded, active, inquisitive travelers. Norway's celebrated Hurtigruten route includes over 1,000 miles of stunning coastline. Find your voyage today by calling 855-370-2651. On a Hurtigruten voyage, you don't just visit Norway, you become part of it. Call 855-370-2651 today.
The F word in it?
Sure it does.
In there.
All right, that seems unlikely. I don't like it.
Somebody pull up the lyrics. That's
all right, I'm doing it right now. All right. It's all right to tell me what you think about me. I won't try to argue or hold it against you. I know that you're leaving. You must have your reasons. Yeah. The season is calling. Your pictures are falling down. The steps that I retraced, the sad look on your face, mm-hmm. the timing and the structure. Did you hear that he effed her?
All right.
That's in the lyrics?
Yes.
That was sung.
You
on
know
ours.
How, you know how I know? Because I listened to the show.
USA!
Apparently, USA! It is okay to say that word now on the radio.
That's what That's I'm good saying. News. That's
Thank
what
you, Ralph.
My point was.
Wow, this is.
Oh my God. Right, we can't. We literally can't.
Oh, what?
I didn't think we just did.
We can't keep doing that.
Kevin, why are you trying to keep us down, man? Why are you working for the man?
What?
Oh, listen, corporate shill boy.
Here's what I'm going to tell
listen,
you.
Uncle Tom.
One more time, the whole station goes dead. I'm just telling you that.
So it's okay for big rich rock stars and Blink 182 yes. to say whatever the hell they want.
Yes.
But us, the little people, we're restricted. Our free speech
yes.
is restricted.
That's
wow.
exactly right.
It's because Bean and I are black. Is that why?
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
I don't think either of you.
You side with Whitey over us, is what you're saying.
That's what's going on here, man.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't
think it's the Oscars all over again, man.
No. Yep.
Racism rears its ugly head.
Wow. I expected better from you, Kevin.
Another why? Huge star is set to perform at the Super Bowl. Very exciting. She's going to sing the national anthem of these United States of America.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, he won't be singing the national anthem. It's going to be the one, the only.
Rodney on the Rock.
Not the Rodney on the Rock. No, he won't do it either. It's going to be.
Dick Poop.
Not Dick Poop. No.
That would be awesome.
Although he'd be a great choice because no one is more popular today than Dick Poop. No, the lovely and talented.
Adele Dazeem.
That's right, Adele Dazeem, Idina Menzel from Let It Go fame. She's going to be lending those voluptuous pipes to our national anthem. I saw the voluptuous pipes, by the way, at the Troube last night.
How were they?
Excellent. I think she's terrific. I think she's talented and sexy as hell.
I agree. And obviously, it goes without saying, she's a tremendous singer.
Yes, it goes without saying.
Now, does that strike either of you two as the over-under bet for the national anthem? Because that's one that gets bet on a lot.
All right, let's
they
take a look.
They usually can pick it pretty closely to like 2 minutes and 20 seconds or 25 seconds.
And when they pick somebody who's got a big voice, somebody who likes to show off like a Mariah or a Christina or in this case an Adele Dazeem.
Idina Menzel.
Dazeem.
Right. That's where it gets tough to guess.
Yeah,
but
what are they going to do?
She's not a pop singer. She doesn't do a lot of runs and stuff. She's a Broadway singer. She just brings emotion to the songs.
A lot of times it's that last note.
She doesn't do that. That Christina Aguilera stuff.
Right, right.
So I'm thinking
she'll play it tight.
Under 2 minutes. I'm going with the under.
Minutes.
I'm going the under.
All right.
Because last year, opera singer Renee Fleming. She did it in 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
And she was great, by the way, if you recall.
She was
terrific.
But I do not remember
the
national anthem.
I think the over-under was like 2 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Interesting.
It's usually
I'm taking the under.
All right.
You know who has the record for the longest version?
I do not.
2013 Super Bowl.
Dazeem.
No, not Adele Dazeem. Clocking in at 2 minutes, 36 seconds was Alicia Keys.
That's a pretty slow anthem.
That's showing off, man.
That is showing off and stuff.
But this Idina Menzel, selecting her for the national anthem is, again, what they do with the Super Bowl. They don't have to do anything for football fans. How can we get the ladies and the gays?
How can we get 6-year-old girls to watch?
Right, exactly.
Well, you get Queen Elsa in there, baby.
That's right. So I guess good choice.
You should sing Let It Go instead of the national anthem.
That is our national anthem now anyway.
Oh, I wish it was. It's so awesome. Hey, remember when NBC used to do comedies? Back when it had, like, Cheers on?
It's been a while.
It's been a while since they've had anything funny on that network. Well, they announced some of the new comedies they have in the works, and I think that's all about to change.
They had Seinfeld, didn't they?
Yeah.
Back
in the 90s. They haven't been funny in 20 years. But that's all going to change. Now, NBC has ordered a sitcom pilot from the woman who created Hot in Cleveland.
Yes.
It's about a married couple who struggle with empty nest syndrome until their adult daughters move back into the house.
Yay!
I'm laughing already, NBC.
Does hilarity ensue?
Listen, I'm a parent, and I'm also an adult child. I have no interest in any of this.
Well, who's in it? That makes a big difference.
I know.
Do we know?
But it's not going to be good.
Okay, all right.
How about another about a group of friends who work at a big box superstore called Superstore? See? I bet there's lots of quantities of foods and things that they have to move. Pallets full of mayonnaise.
Ralph, in television's defense, every show can sound terrible with a one-line description. I think Kevin is right. Depends on who's in it. Depends on who's writing it.
The more high concept the slug line is, the log line, the description, the less likely it is to be funny.
I see.
I've always felt that way.
So in other words,
how about you, let me tell you the log line for Cheers? A group of friends gather in a bar.
Right.
It's innocuous, it's flat, it sounds like nothing promising will happen there. That leaves the potential for comedy wide open.
Right. Say the same thing about Seinfeld or The
Four
Office.
Four friends
or
hang out together.
Right, yeah.
A bunch of people work at a paper company for The Office, right? The more innocuous and boring sounding the log line for a show, the higher the potential for
comedy. So if it's a vegan and a hunter in space, it's not going to be a good show.
Saying, yes! You know what it is? It's the Gilligan's Island phenomenon. A bunch of wacky people go out for a three-hour tour and end up stranded on a desert island. That's not going to be funny.
I won't hear you talk about Gilligan's Island that way.
That's not going to be funny.
That's a great show.
My mother gets reincarnated as a car. My mother, the car. That's not going to be funny. That was an actual sitcom.
Yeah. But there'll be plenty of this. No matter what.
There will be plenty of that. Oh, NBC.
I know it is not widely watched, but I still think Parks and Rec is great. And that is an NBC comedy.
I think it has its...
It has extreme high highs.
Yes, extremely high highs.
And sometimes
and
low lows.
Some low lows, yeah. But again, what's that? It's the workings
people who
of
work in
small,
a government office,
small
yeah.
town government office, right?
But I would always err on the side of that show where they're swinging for the fences. I admire that about a show, and if they strike out occasionally, that's fine.
Right.
I like that they're going for it.
Right. Although that thing Bean pitched of the vegan and the hunter in space.
Yeah.
I think we should write that up.
Maybe there's something there.
At least the treatment. I think there may be something there.
People love it. Sounds like a hit.
Can we make the hunter gluten-free?
I see Ted Nugent playing the hunter.
Today's celebrity birthday is Albert Pujols. First baseman for your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He is 35 years old today. Model Kate Moss is 41. And director John Carpenter turned 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Time for that song. Monday, we're off Tuesday. We have Patton Oswalt in the studio with us, one of our favorite guests, and Harvey Levin. And we'll do the grand prize drawing for the weekend for the world tour.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What did you do?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Damn.
Roll another one.
Muffins.
Just like the other one.
Sugar.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Jello.
And I need another.
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction. Mr. Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius, yeah. Right? Where could people find that?
Roll another one.
A nation rejoices.
Just like the other one.
That's great goddamn radio.
This one seems to be about.
You're missing the best part.
I don't have another cent.
It's not easy being drunk all the time. Everyone would do it if it were easy.
But don't bogart that joint.
What's in the water out there?
Just pass it around.
Yeah, but that's different. Cast eye old time.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Dick poop.
But just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
I see it, there's only one way to decide who stays and who goes.
I'm happy to leave anytime.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
What you did was unconscionable, all right? Unconscionable. It was unconscionable. I can't say that word. What you did f***ing sucked.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Goodbye.